Hello and welcome to Pro You Podcast, episode number 438. Personal growth is quiet. It's just like I always do, walking the earth, having experiences, observing my path, and then sharing them when I've got something to say. And it turned out I had a lot to say because a lot of things happened. I'm going to talk about my social media experience, what happened, and how that led to one of the biggest personal growth moments of my life, which no one heard about, hence the title, Personal Growth is Quiet, which I love how it all comes together like that. But Zen went through some stuff, which I went through, and you know, all this stuff is, you're going to have good and bad, and to kind of level out that roller coaster is really about being present, and it's really about being thankful. And in order to do those things, you just need to be aware. You just need to be aware, and becoming aware of your thoughts, of your mind, of your life, of your choices. It is not a wonderful first moment because, again, you're aware for the first time. So you're seeing things in you. You're realizing how many thoughts run through your mind, what you think about, what you're tethered to, what you latch on to. Like, again, it's not a bunch of good information. Typically, when you look at yourself for the first time, you're looking at yourself for the first time, and it can't always be pleasant. So it's hard, and it's uncomfortable, and it's unfamiliar, but you have to stick with it, and you have to deem yourself worthy of the time and energy to do it so you can get through these cool moments. Like, again, there's just things that kind of happen. I'm like, okay, I don't really have a choice, or here's my choice because I wouldn't do anything else. And then I'm living that experience, and that experience is something that I've never experienced before. So that's when I say come to my well, by the water I sell. That's the experience I'm having. That's the experience I'm sharing because I deemed myself worthy. Last episode was the school of oneself. I'm in that. I'm learning all about me. And again, it's not all wonderful and rainbows and unicorns and purple bunnies. It's not. But it's just worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. So enjoy this episode. I enjoyed recording it. I think there's just some definite value in it, and I just want to say thank you for listening, and please feel free to shout out proyoupodcast@gmail.com if you've got any questions, comments, anything you'd like to share. I'd love to hear from you. All right, enjoy. Hello, hello, hello. How are we all doing? I hope you are doing wonderfully. So I'm going to begin this episode reading a few excerpts from the book In Love with the World, A Monk's Journey Through the Bardos of Living and Dying. This is the book that Scotty referred to and on the very top of the cover it says, "This book has the potential to change the reader's life forever." And, well, I mean, I'm just like a completely different version of myself. So how this book is impacting me is based a lot on that. But yeah, I would say this is probably the best book I've ever read for me. I mean, I'm highlighting it, taking notes, you know. Now here I am reading it on the podcast. I'm always quoting it. You know, there's just some things that have really, really resonated with me. And this book totally has. So here's a few excerpts. People everywhere try so hard to make the world better. Their intentions are admirable, yet they seek to change everything but themselves. To make yourself a better person is to make the world a better place. Like, that just gives me peace. I'm content. I'm like, okay, cool. That's what I'm working on. That's what I can do. Cool. Like, a lot of reading the book, you know, has been confirmation for me. Like, when I read that, I was like, perfect. It wasn't change anything. It was like, okay, cool. That's what I'm doing. It's exactly what I'm doing. That day he learned that there is no spiritual reality separate from daily life, and that in order to know anything of value about himself and about living in the world, he would have to travel deep inside himself again, which is something that I was doing. Now, again, I wasn't all written out. It wasn't planned. It wasn't designed. You know, it wasn't orchestrated. But, you know, reading this stuff, man, it was just such a, I mean, I felt joy. When I'm like, that's how I felt. I said something like that. That's what I'm going through. We might be amazed to discover how frequently moments in daily life stop our minds. And now, just, I mean, exactly what's happening. Because, you know, I'm just stopping. I'm asking why, you know, and questioning it and looking, and, you know, my experience is changing. Waking up, which means directly seeing things as they are. Love that. We run away from the fear and seek comfort in what is familiar. Yet since what we are running away from comes from our own minds, we are running away from ourselves. And as a strategy for happiness, this never works. Did you feel that one? Yet Buddha saw that his grasping mind was the problem. He had gotten reality upside down. After years of trying to control the mind and deny the most basic needs of his body, he made a decision to stop trying to get enlightened and to simply sit down and look into his own mind in order to see what he could learn directly from observing his experience in the present moment. That is what he did under the Bodhi tree. What he initially sought to attain was already within him. That is probably the most poignant. I highlighted it and then I outlined the edges. Because, I mean, I made a decision to stop pursuing the things I was pursuing. And I had no real plan. Now, if I could have verbalized it, it would have been, I'm going to see what I can learn from directly observing my experience. And then in the present moment, I'm like, what do I talk about all the time? Today, being present. I mean, there's very little I need to feel good right now, but something little like a book by this dude. And I'm reading it, and things are resonating, things seem familiar, like-minded, kindred spirit, you know, just a bunch of stuff. It's, you know, again, why I'm doing what I'm doing with this book and highlighting it and taking my time and taking notes and doing all I am. I mean, you know, is the book changing my life? I mean, I guess that's one way of saying, is it giving me confirmation? Is it making me feel empowered? Of course, 100%. This is the great paradox of the Buddhist path, that we practice in order to know what we already are, therefore attaining nothing, getting nothing, going nowhere. We seek to uncover what has always been there. And I've been saying that a lot lately, you know, clients and stuff going, you know, you see me now today, I'm way different than I was 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 8 years ago. And when you look at it, it wasn't because I was traveling or I, you know, met a person or got a job or moved or, you know, there was nothing external at all. You know, it was just simply down to, you know, when I said that quote, or had this thought that when you quiet the noise, there's this empty space. And that is finally what allows the good that lies deep inside of you to rise. And that's kind of how I felt. You know, I'm like, well, I always, you know, and again, to say I've always known this was inside of me would be completely incorrect. But why didn't I quit? Why didn't I just go off the deep end? Why did I keep pursuing? You know, why did I go to a second therapist? You know, why did I go to AA? You know, why did I keep pursuing? You know, I just, you know, up until this moment, it was, I'm like, well, there has to be something better. Like, it's just like, I mean, I could, I don't know, I would say like I could see my good, but I wasn't having that experience. And I felt like I was a good guy, hardworking, honest, nice, loyal. You know, I mean, I really thought that. And it was just mayhem. Having material comforts seems to make people grasp excessively as they are more afraid of losing their possessions, which I've seen a number of times. And again, in my situation, the opposite is true. The more you let go, the less attachment you have. I do not like this smell. That's okay. No problem. I do not have to like it. I just have to be with it. This smell is another cloud. Do not invite it in for tea. That's another one of my favorite lines. It's just a cloud. You know, let it pass. Don't invite it in for tea. I think a lot of these stick in my head and I remember them. They motivate me. Nothing to run away from, I told myself. Nothing to avoid. Nothing to love or hate. Nothing to celebrate or regret. Wet, dry, happy, sad, good smells, bad smells. If I stay with awareness, I'll be fine. The first thing that happens when we begin to meditate is that we learn just how crazy our minds are. It's the first sign that we are becoming familiar with our own mind. It's a great insight. You will be fine. He had to come to the park to practice, to try. That's all any of us can do. We can no more stop thoughts than we can stop the wind or stop our breath. Those points of meditation I'm going to chat about in a moment. You do not know the size or measurement of your mind, so you cannot measure its so-called progress. Taking the focus off the goal doesn't mean giving up. It means staying receptive to the present. It means allowing for a fresh response to what's happening and becoming more comfortable with innovation than with repeating stale impersonations of your old self. Love that. Oh, here's a this one I read not too long ago and shared it quite a bit. Personality traits of young children between the ages of 3 and 6 develop into lifelong patterns. The grooves, the deepest grooves are the oldest grooves. 3 to 6. I thought back to when I was 3 into 6. I mean, I think that's when I just started to understand what fear was, what anger was. And I was obviously doing a lot wrong. And, you know, I think because I always say, you know, by 7, I was mowing lawns. I was riding my bike, going, you know, mowing people's lawns. So, I mean, I was a pretty, you know, knew what I was doing. You know, I remember that time. And I already know how I felt at 7 when I was working, like what not to do. I never wanted to get in trouble because I was afraid of my father. And I was like, well, yeah, that's 7 already, you know, by 7, like I knew the bad. I was already, you know, wet in the bed. I was already afraid. I was already stressed. I was already afraid, you know, worried. So I'm like, wow, It just, you read something like that and you just get hit, man. The idea that meditation was about attaining joy and clarity through non-thinking is a common mistake. The essence of meditation is awareness. I've read a couple things about that, and it's a big, big point, but that is a key. That's the key to something I'm going to share here in a moment. But the essence of meditation is awareness. And that's when it just hit me. It was just like, boom. I was like, wow. All right, got one more, last one. If I can stay with awareness, great. If not, that's okay too. Don't create stories around good and bad, about how things should be. Remember, shadows cannot be separated from light. So lots to share. I hope you enjoyed that. I just like read them. You know, I went through them and highlighted them. Then I went through and picked out which ones I wanted. Then I read them. And I loved reading them that time as much as I did all the other times. So I almost had a different title, which was going to be Disconnect, which is kind of part of what I was talking about. With, I have something to share about the topic on meditation. So I'm just going to start here. Personal growth is quiet. And I started sharing a couple things slightly kind of, you know, similar to that with some clients. And I'm like, you know, you're on social media or you're just sharing with friends. You got married, you moved, you bought a house, you got a new job, you made a bunch of money, you took a trip. You know, these are all external things that other people can see and feel and touch and experience. So that's what's loud. I'll call that loud. Personal growth is quiet. No one knows. Like when I'm talking to a client and I'll say something to them, anyone else ever said that to you? And they're like, nope. It's like, yeah, because we're the only two people that are talking about this thing. And you're experiencing this thing, and we're, you know, together kind of verbalizing it and, you know, putting your stamp on it. And we're trying to stay present. But, you know, it's like, wow, I felt really present. You know, that's pretty cool. But who knows that? Like, who's, like, right there? Because this doesn't happen. Yesterday I wasn't. Today I am fully present. It doesn't happen like that. It's slow. Because it's slow, it's quiet. So I had entered the incorrect birth date. I got a little frustrated with Instagram while it was asking me my birthday. And before I knew it, my account was blocked. And it said, you have 30 days to appeal. Submit photo, driver's license. So, you know, a Tom moment from the past where I do one thing to avoid something, and now what I have to do, you know, was, you know, 10 times more work. You know, it's like, okay, just give your birthday. I'm like, what? I've had Instagram how long? Like, why do you need? I just don't want to be giving information at this point in my life with everything that seems to be happening in the world. So, but next thing you know, it's like you're off. Your account's blocked, and if you don't recover it in 30 days, you won't be able to recover it. I was like, you know, in that moment, I'm like, well, because part of me, you know, part of me just like a little sign inside of me said, okay. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to like be done forever. Because again, I had, you know, cut back and, you know, thought about it and, you know, questioned social media and look at it. And so I just go through the appeal process, which was completely uncomfortable because it, like, it wasn't when I would press the submit, it wouldn't submit. It just like, I'm just pushing the button and nothing would happen. And I would delete it and start again. And I had to enter, you know, my email, and I had to enter, I forget what, but it was just kind of, you know, time consuming. And then, you know, to take the picture of my driver's license and then, you know, and submit that. And you know, I blocked out my address and stuff because I'm like, only going to give you whatever you need. But it was just kind of like this yucky little moment that I didn't even want to go through. And I wasn't even sure I wanted it to be back, which was right away that big thing. Like part, the first initial thing was, I don't care. Like, whatever. Like, you're not going to have power over me. And I meant that, that I do believe if I was more into social media or younger, per se, millennial, it's more ingrained. It's just more part of it. It's not like a choice. It's just, you know, you eat, you drink, you breathe, and you check your phone. It's just, it's part of the day. And so I don't know when it was a while back. I go, I'm just going to like cut way back, stop, you know, going on as much. And I, you know, took a pretty good break, and I felt an experience. But there was, after a while, I could tell I was, you know, throughout the day, just checking here and there. And, you know, it's mindless. But, I mean, sometimes I just, like, enjoy it because, to me, it's visual. Instagram, I have, you know, follow things that, you know, people that they make things. Or, you know, it's very visual to me, so it's pleasing. And if I go to Zen's, it's dogs. So it's not like I'm on there, you know, arguing with people or anything like that. You know, it's a, if it wasn't a pleasant experience, I wouldn't do it at all. But that's all it, you know, was for me. But, you know, to kind of do it, you know, on and off throughout the day, you know, you realize how much time you're actually doing that. So this was, it was just trippy to me because it's like, I wasn't blocked on Facebook, but I was like, okay, I'm off. I just went with, if they blocked me, then I'm off. So let's see how this break goes. And I think it was like the very next day I had Scott. He's like, well, are you going to go back on? I said, well, funny you should ask. I said, you know, I have a podcast. I, you know, train people. I go, it seems kind of counterproductive, counterintuitive to not promote the podcast, not, you know, be, you know, online, not like trying to get clients. I said, but, you know, him and I talk about, you know, really being open. I said, but I said, how I feel. I said, the first day I woke up and I was like, cool. I was like, I did not care at all. So I'm like, you know, I'm definitely just going to be open to see how I feel, what happens, what transpires, how long it takes, you know, whatever. I'm just going to be, you know, I'm not going to be driving that car, and I'm going to kind of see, you know, what happens. But the one thing I thought of was like, you know, I haven't gotten a new client in over 2 years. And when I post, you know, every Thursday morning, you know, not, well, not now every Thursday, but when I do post the podcast on Thursdays, you know, I get a few likes, you know, and if it's, you know, a few at the same time, I'm assuming it's the same few people. So I'm like, well, they're aware of it. So people like me, now I'm actually listening to a podcast, Daily Stoic. You know, so I go to my podcast app and there it is and play it. I don't, you know, wait for it to come out on social media and click on a link. So then part of me was like, well, because this will be the first podcast that comes out where there's no Instagram or Facebook notification. So I talked with Nico, and I said, it was a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, what have the numbers been, you know, lately? And he shared them with me, and I was like, okay, cool. And I said, I just talked to him, and I'm going to tell you why I just talked to him. But I said, let's find out in, you know, whatever, after a few episodes, if I don't post, what the numbers are. If it matters at all, because that will definitely be, a, you know, a key variable. You know, if me being on social media doesn't affect my podcast at all, again, there's just another, you know, why be on it. So that's what I'm going to look into. And I haven't really talked about to Nico about this, but it was like, okay, you know, what can I do to promote the podcast if it ends up I'm not on, you know, social media? But again, not my decision, not doing it. But I had reached out to Nico because, again, when I went on to that podcast and I put it into my, it was the first one I had, but mine was there, PYP. And I think it was that, or it popped up on phone or something, but it was the description that had been there for a long time about the podcast. And I read it. I'm like, that doesn't, I'm like, if I read that, it wouldn't intrigue me. I go, it doesn't have anything to do with my podcast. Like, I was just right away, I was just like, yuck. Like, I don't like anything that says. And again, if you're, you know, scrolling around looking at something and you read a description, it was just like, wow, I would much rather have it, you know, say something, you know, like what I'm talking about now. Like when I have something to say, I come on and, you know, just the titles and the thought and what I'm going through and what I share and how personal it is and how long I've been doing it. I'm like, it should just be different. And the first thing I thought of, and I don't know why, was I would like to have someone write it. I'm like, well, there's only one person that could write this for me. I have to be someone that understands podcasts, listens to the podcast, knows me really well, you know, and, you know, has gone through some real kind of pro-you stuff while listening and, you know, building a relationship with me. And there's only one person that, you know, that's Nico, my producer. And he's just a wonderful, sweet, joyful, positive, pro-you guy. But he's very creative, and he's got a way with words, and he's a storyteller. And this kind of hit me. I was like, I wonder if he wouldn't mind, you know, writing. I mean, it's not his podcast. I hope he doesn't mind me asking. And so I reached out. I said, would you mind? And he was all fired up on doing it, which was, you know, totally cool, because that's how I like the flow to be. You know, I don't want to bother anybody, but, you know, if they were into it and fired up, then obviously that kind of adds to the moment. So I was stoked that he was stoked, and I was intrigued. And I just said, I sent one sentence. I said, I want this kind of to be a seed that's planted. I go, I don't want to get yours and rewrite it. I just don't want to touch it. You know what I mean? So there's just one thing I'd like you to kind of make sure you kind of have the vibe of. And it was like, you know, this started out, you know, as kind of a fitness, wellness, you know, podcast for me. And over time, you know, it just became a verbal journey, you know, and I was like, I don't know really how to say it or whatever, but I would just kind of somehow want that conveyed. And it was a couple days later when I got it, and it was such a funny experience, because I wasn't expecting it right away, and it was kind of like in a different text, and it was bigger, and I got the reply, and I was like, so I just started like reading it, because it was no like here or whatever, it was just. And I go, take a deep breath, slowly in through it. What? I'm like, what? What is? Hold it, release that breath slowly. What? What's one thing you are grateful for? Oh, the Pro You podcast is grateful you are here. I'm like, wow. I was like, and it like hit me. I was like, that was dope. Because you like, what? Take a deep breath. I mean, you know, that's kind of cool. That's something. I'd be, oh, what's that? Hold it, let it out. Okay, cool. And then Pro You Podcast is grateful you are here, taking the first step on your path to deeming yourself worthy. And I was like, that's brilliant. And I started like freaking out, because I was like, this is better than I could have written it. Taking the first step on your path to deeming yourself worthy of being the best version of yourself you can possibly be. What began as a fitness podcast slowly became host Tom J. Dieter's verbal journey. Through sharing his journey and all aspects of his life that he's gone through, get real-world examples in each episode of how to shift your perspective to reflect, grow, improve, and work on yourself to create the best version of you. Tom J. Dieters wants you to be the best version of yourself. Join him on a journey into your mind, body, and spirit, and learn how you can feel better, be healthier, and build confidence through the power of pro-you decisions. In a world full of distractions and negativity, you can learn to live better by being mindful, living simply, and making small positive forward movement every day, and being thankful you get to. Why choose to live a pro-you life? Because you are worth it. Like, I was like, the weirdest feeling. I was like, that was so good. I never could have wrote that at all. I mean, if right now you said, okay, write one, I'd be like, yeah, I would just fail. It would fail in comparison. And I felt that right away. I was like, I asked the right dude. And just thankful. Because again, it's like, you know, going off social media, one of the first things I thought of was the podcast. I want to keep doing it. I enjoy it. And Nico has made the process, you know, even more enjoyable. So, like I said, there's just these really kind of feel-good, positive things happening. And like when I saw that description, I was like, ew. And now I saw it and I was like, yeah, someone reads that. That's like, and then they go to the podcast. That's exactly what they're going to get. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Nico. You are magical. So this is going back to the book and the meditation. Meditation really comes down to awareness. So the next morning, I was blocked. I didn't go on Facebook. I didn't post in the morning, you know, so I go on Facebook, or I mean, I go on Instagram, three different accounts, post, and then those get sent, or one of them gets sent to Facebook. I don't go on Facebook a whole lot, but just nothing in the morning. And I just, you know, instead of like I would, you know, go outside, drink some coffee, I might post or whatever a little bit, and then come back inside, and I foam roller and play with Zen, and just kind of like go out, I sit for a little bit, and come back in, and like I just kind of did what I did before, but without the social media. And like I told Scott, like it was so easy, and it felt so good the next day that I was like, I just don't know. And the other thing I shared with Scott, and he felt the same exact way because, you know, he'd gone through it as well, but I mean, I could have, if I needed to, wanted to go to Facebook and said, hey, this is what happened, this is what I'm doing, you know, because I'd seen people announce them taking breaks, and I just completely felt like no need to at all. Like when you think about it, you know, and this is kind of the really cool thing, I was alive a long time before social media. So I know what that's like. I remember what that's like. I remember having experiences and not posting them, you know, just having those experiences. So the movie that I loved recently was The Alpinist. And dude lost his phone. He's like, yeah, probably better without one. And he went and did what he did, you know, until this movie was being made without capturing it. Because it was about that personal, quiet moment. And his girlfriend towards the end of the movie said like the best line. She said, he will never put any time or energy into other people finding meaning in what he does. Like, you know, oh, I'm going to do this thing, so I'm going to post it, and I'm going to share it so people understand. Okay, this is why I'm going off of social media. This is why I'm going, this is why I'm taking a break. It's like, no, I'm just, you know, and most of the time it's like funny when you think about it, like, you know, Twitter, and I think it went through, not really sure, but it's like, imagine an alien looking at the phone and going, here's Twitter. It's like, what is Twitter? Well, it's just sold for $44 billion. It's like, well, what is it? It just looks like people yelling back and forth at each other, like people having comments, like, what is this? $44 billion. Think about it. That's the importance. Twitter, in our world today, in our mind's eye, is worth $44 billion. Now, it wasn't around how many years ago. I mean, we were all fine. But now, it's worth $44 billion. You know, it's just kind of crazy when you look at it. Because, like, you know, Twitter isn't a structure. It's not a building. It's not a facility. It's not a plant. It's, you know what I mean, it's, you can't, you didn't buy it and go, okay, got it, and I put it in my pocket. You know, it's this system. You know, but it's pretty trippy. So in the book, this some rich Asian guy, I think, was talking about meditation. He comes in, he goes like, you know, I'm just going nuts with the meditation. I sit down and it's thought after thought, and it's like, God. Guy's like, well, yeah, but now you're going, okay, I'm going to become aware of my thoughts, become aware of my mind. That's the initial thing. Now that's step one. Whoa. Now, if you just think about it, if you just become familiar, that will calm down. Oh, okay, this is how many thoughts enter. Okay, I think a lot. Okay, thoughts come and go. Okay. And you get less and less affected, and then you're calmer, and then less thoughts come in. Because that was the thing, is like your mind creates thoughts. You can't stop that. It's like what you do with them. Is it the monkey mind where it enters and just runs rampant? And pretty soon those bad 10 minutes turn into a bad day because you couldn't stop it. That's the whole point. So to sit there and go, okay, there's a thought. Okay, there's a thought. Okay, wow, another thought. Wow, my voice. Like, don't judge. Don't critique. Just be aware. And all of a sudden something clicked. And I go, just in my discussions, chats, podcasts, I have just mentioned the importance of meditation in some form. And I would look at my day and how I was doing it, or how I was coming close, or, you know, when I was foam rolling, you know, did it make me kind of feel like I was, and was I able to control my thoughts? And, you know, before going to the dentist, I was visualizing and breathing and, you know, doing all these kind of things that to me were really similar, like cousins of meditation, but to just sit down, close your eyes for X amount of time, I just wouldn't do. And it was, I think, 2 days after being blocked. I was like, I'm just going to do 5 minutes right now. And I turned on the timer. And I actually sit with my legs folded, but on a foam roller. Sounds kind of funky, but I get all these different tweaks and not pains, but like tightness and stuff when I just sit regular on the floor. And I just don't want to be that fidgety and moving. So if I just prop up my booty a little bit on the foam roller, cross my legs, apply a little pressure on the other calf with my leg, it's like this really comfortable position. And I kind of sat like that before. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. So it's like, no judgment. Sit how you want to. Close your eyes. Don't care. And all of a sudden the timer went off and I went, do you know how ridiculously easy that just was? I was like, I haven't been able to do that for how long? I was like, what? I'm like, that was just because I didn't have that. I got to be enlightened. I got to levitate. I got to make sure I have this, you know, whatever, monk mind, not monkey, but monk mind. And, you know, just there's nothing. Just be aware. I'm like, I can do that. So I thought it was, I don't even know how much later, but I'm going to do that twice a day. I'm like, how hard is that to do that twice a day? Oh, that was a big yawn out of nowhere. So later night, around 4 or 5, and I sat down. I'm like, boom, like the timer went again. It was just like, I couldn't, like, it was going by so fast. And I thought, this is so easy. So it was like the next day, and Scott was going to go on vacation. And I'm like, man, when he gets back, I'm going to tell him, when you were gone, I meditated twice a day, every day while you were gone. And he's just going to be shocked because, you know, we've talked about it a lot, and he knows I haven't, and, you know, it'll just be like a cool story. We'll end up not going on vacation, so I end up talking to him the next day. So I went down 2 days in a row, but I said, Scott, and this is right, I go, my podcast, I go, the title's going to be Personal Growth is Quiet. I go, I just had one of the biggest moments, the biggest shifts. I started meditating, and not once a day, but twice a day. And like the second day, I went to 6 minutes. And I'm going to stay there for a while. Right away, it's like, oh, I'm going to go to 8. Then I'm going to go to the 10. I'm like, I know I am. Like, I'm just going to do it. But I'd done it 3 days in a row when I talked to Scott. And now I've done it every day and haven't missed. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just doing this now. And it was like just such an awesome thing. But then I was like, Scott, but guess when it happened? I go, you cannot ignore the timing. I've been thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it for how long? I get blocked on Instagram, go off social media. 2 days later, meditation practice starts that I'm quite positive will last the rest of my life. And I'm like, that's huge. Who knew about it? No one called me. No one said congrats. No one reached out from anywhere. Well, I didn't post it, obviously. But I don't think I would have, you know, like, hey, by the way, letting you know, because like this is, I share with my clients and I share, you know, on the podcast. And it was like one of the biggest notes I wrote. And I was just like, that is just crazy. Like one of the biggest forward moving moments I felt, as far as like, you know, I've been doing the personal growth for a long time and I can look back and look at moments and when I grew and a bunch of stuff. I mean, but as far as a shift that was like, boom, loud to me and quiet to the rest of the world, Zen just had a little fit chewing on his tail. Oh, hold up. What are you doing? Let's get something on there. All right. So that's when it, you know, it just hit me. And there's like so much I feel good about. Like, I feel good about the podcast. I like, you know, I go, hey, I'm going to record when I have something to say. And the things I'm going through right now, I'm like, I feel really, you know, strong about, you know, here's something to this. There's some value to this. So Nico reworking the description just gets me fired up. These are the conversations I'm having. And, you know, the not going on social media, it's just like this, you know, just thing of like you disconnect. And one of the things I thought about is, you know, if you leave an appliance plugged in and you're not using it, still uses electricity. You know, you have to fully unplug it to fully disconnect. And I went, you know, that's what happened, but it wasn't bad. Like, again, if I was younger, a millennial, like way more into social media, be like, oh, I'm not going on, you know, and it's that, what are you missing out on? You know, in high school, it's like, oh, you got to go to that thing. And then if you don't go, you're like, oh, you missed it. You go to it and it's not that great, but you didn't miss it. It was like that fear of missing out, FOMO. And there was none of that. Like, I just didn't care. Like, I'm into this, like, I'm not doing that thing. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm doing this thing. Okay, cool. Okay, that's happening. I'm feeling that. Why am I? Oh, I'm going to write that down. Oh, I'm going to read this. Oh, that made sense. Oh, I was talking to a client. You know, and then magically, you know, Moj have been sending me podcasts for how long? And all of a sudden this one was kind of recurring, and it was the Daily Stoic. And I started listening to that, and I was like, oh yeah, that happened. Because I don't listen to podcasts. Of course I've listened to a few here and there. And since, you know, training with Mosher, he sends me, you know, sends me one once in a while. But it's not like I follow any. But here I am following a podcast named Daily Stoic, meditating twice a day, every day. Oh, how long has that been going on? Ever since I was off social media. So, you know, again, where I am, and this is what I tell my clients, you know, I'm focused on me. I want you to be focused on you, not the external, not what you're doing that people can see, and not if you can share it, and not how many likes you get or how many people are interested. Do you, by you, for you. And that's like, you know, hey, I'm on this podcast, come to my well by the water. I said, what's he talking about? Well, this dude's alone with a dog, best he's ever been. And he's really into this personal growth stage. And he's, you know, he's not traveling and making a bunch of money, taking classes, climbing to the top of a mountain, but he's just getting all this new knowledge, and he's having this new experience, and it's like he's understanding that it's inside him and it's coming out, and he's digging it. So he's connected to it. And, you know, like I said, I was like, you know, Nico, let's watch the numbers, let's see what happens. Because, you know, if, you know, again, I don't know in a week or in 2 weeks how I'm gonna feel about anything or what I'm gonna do. I know I'm gonna, you know, pump out a podcast, upload a podcast, record a podcast when I've got, you know, something to say. And I do. I just, you know, I think just Nico's made it that much more joyful. But I just enjoy it. And I just know I'm going to, you know, keep doing it. So there's something that went on as well that got to me. Zen, this has, you know, been going on for a little bit. He got hurt once jumping out of the car and immediately pulled up, you know, his paw. We sat there for a bit and it just like, it was like something happened. I was like, okay, so I drove home, kept him in the car, ran upstairs, got some things, went back downstairs, got in the car, went to this new vet. I was going to check it out. And as I'm waiting there, you know, I carried him in. So he hadn't even walked, hadn't put a foot on the ground since this happened. It's probably been 45 minutes. And all of a sudden he's sitting next to me. He just gets up and starts walking around. No limp, just done. And they were crazy busy, and I actually wasn't even at the right place, so it was kind of cool. I'm like, I'm going to split. So I just left. I think it was like a week or two later, did it again. Woke up, was limping a little bit. I called. I made an appointment at this other place, found the right location. But it wasn't like for 8 days. And now it was like the next day, he was fine again, walking around. And I didn't, you know, have him run or anything, but he was walking fine. Like, the limp was gone. I was like, what a dragon. So I canceled that appointment. Like, 3 days later, he was like completely fine. I'm like, what, in 2 days I'm going to go there and be like, oh, he's completely fine, but I really wanted to spend some money. So that was it. And then it was, I guess, 2 weeks ago now. It was a Saturday morning. And the first moment, like, he got up out of bed, he limped and wouldn't put pressure on it. I was like, like, he laid there all night. Like, we didn't do anything, and he was fine. Like, all day Thursday, all day Friday, like, highly aware, watching him. Like, and just, and, like, I had to wrap his paw in an ACE bandage. And, no, we actually came right back in. And it wasn't until, like, way later when it's like, okay, finally we got to go to the bathroom. I wrapped an ACE bandage where he could put a little bit of pressure on it, walk a little bit, you know, long enough to, you know, to go to the bathroom. And I was like, oh, okay, let me call that place again, make another appointment, same thing. It was like 7 days away. Called them up. All right. So I'm like, you know, I got to find out. So it was about 2 days, I think, for this one, 2.5 days, where I could tell, okay, he's feeling better. He wasn't limping. And then, like, it's, you got a dog, you got a pet, you just know them really well. Like, I could just tell, like, when he's not feeling good, how he acts, but I can tell when he's feeling good, like, his energy level, he's itching, and, like, he was just, like, you know, kind of starting to run, like, the zoomies and things, and I'd shut that down and go, no, we're not going to do that, and I wasn't letting him play with dogs, start roughhousing, but I could tell he was like, I feel good, like, I, you know, let's make this, let's have some fun. So I kept, you know, again, just making sure, pumping the brakes kind of on anything that might be a little too impactful for his leg, but I could tell that he was really, really fine. So I go to the new vet, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. Friday. And they're still doing the COVID thing. So you're outside in the parking lot. They come out. The girl that came out was super cool. Told her the whole story. First time there. My vet closed, you know, during COVID. Then hasn't really needed a vet in 2 years, knock on wood. So looking for a new place. You know, this is close. Came here. So Zen's in there for a little bit. Doctor calls. She was cool. But she says, you know, the things, a little bit of arthritis, a little bit of a joint that was a little tweaked, and there was a little bit of, I don't know what it was with his shoulder from like 4 years ago, like when he got injured. These are like the x-rays, and, you know, because I had the information. And obviously, you know, 4 years later, none of that stuff is gonna get better. And she goes, well, I think the first step is x-rays. But she says, you know, how it could kind of come and go, it could be kind of something in the neck. And, you know, with that kind of stuff, you have to do, like, MRIs. And she said, but just first step, we'll do x-rays. Like, okay. She goes, I'm going to hang up. Someone will call you back and make an appointment and give you an estimate. Okay. Woman calls me back. And I forget what we chatted about, but all of a sudden she hung up. And this is where this is where the story starts changing. I was like, they didn't make an appointment with me. And I said, nor did I get an estimate. So I call back, get a girl on the phone, make an appointment. And I said, you know, he's for x-rays, doctor told me, so I just wondered about the estimate, and she said between 200 and 400. I said, okay, thank you, left. That was Friday. So Saturday, I get an email, and it's estimate, and there's five things listed, and it's $855. And I'm like, well, that's a little different. So I call the place, and it's at press one for this, 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 and you get the six for the manager, and it's the only one that's like, talk to someone. So I'm like, okay, I press it. It's ring, 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 ring. Ring, ring, ring. No answer, no machine, no nothing. I'm like, all right, it's Saturday, I guess. So I wait till Monday, you know, because my appointment's that coming Wednesday. And I'm like, yeah, I want to chat with someone before I show up. This is like more than doubled. So Monday, you know, call, press six, ring, 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 ring. No answer, no voicemail. And I'm like, well, you know, so right away it's that, well, you know, they're going to take care of my dog and I can't get a hold of someone. I can't call, you know, just a little, not, it wasn't conscious, but a little bit of that. Okay, here are the red flags that I don't like when dealing with a company. So Tuesday rolls around and I'm like, oh, do I call again? I got to go in. And all since they call me and they're confirming the appointment. I'm like, cool, got someone on the phone. Been trying to call, couldn't get through. Have some questions. And the girl's like, no idea. I have someone call you. So she has someone call me. And I'm assuming it was the manager. And I just figured that's, you know, you got questions and the manager would call you. So a woman gets on. I start asking, you know, about, you know, this and that. The woman said, you know, 200 to 400. And she was, well, she was new. And it just stopped me. Like, it was the worst answer I think I could ever hear from a place. And I'm like, okay, you interviewed her, hired her, pay her, put her on the phone, but it was my responsibility to ask her if she was new, so I didn't believe her then. Should I ask, like, are you new? Should I believe what you, was the I didn't ask if the doctor was new. Maybe the doctor was new and didn't. So I'm just stuck there. Like, I knew I was stuck there. Like, I wasn't going to get past that point. And then she lists the other, like, the other two were actually x-rays. It was just a completely different name for them, you know. And then there's this blood thing for $110. I said, what's that? And she starts, you know, kind of going into it. And she's like, well, since we're putting Zen, you know, under, you know, this and that as a precautionary. And I'm like, no one told me they were putting Zen under. And now you're saying you're doing this thing in case something happens. Like, I kind of started feeling like the guilt thing. Like, oh, well, you know, you get done and you find out your dog passed away. And it's like, yeah, you didn't do that thing beforehand. And I'm like, and right then I was just like, this is where you go, I don't know. I want my trusted vet to go, Tom, this is what we need to do for Zen. And I'm like, I don't have that. And I kept telling her, I go, this is my first experience with you guys. I don't know what to do. But the, you know, the quote went up over doubled. Now you're telling me information that I've never even heard of, proposing something that no one proposed and not telling me I really have to do it, but I should do it. And she goes, well, do you want me to have someone call you? And I was like, who? And she goes, well, I can have the manager. And I go, I go, that's who I thought I was talking to. And I go, yeah, have her call me. And I knew it was like kind of that text from my father. I knew I wasn't going there. I didn't knew it. But I was like, okay, have her call me back. And I waited and I waited. And it was like 7 o'clock and I never heard from her. And I was like, I'm never going to that place. Consciously, it was done. But then I was kind of shocked. Never heard from him. Next morning, got up. And I felt a little off. Like, it's like, okay, did you not want to spend the money? You know, what are you going to do with Zen? A little bit of that voice. I was like, shut up. Because I had kept Zen like low impact and he's been doing wonderful in his attitude and his spirit. And he was so, the doctor goes, oh, he's really excited today. And I was like in my head going, no, that's how he always is. Like he's 7 and he's at good. Like I knew he was good. So no matter what they said, if we got x-rays, they weren't going to go, oh, he needs to have surgery. Oh, we need to put him in a cast. Oh, he needs to be in a, you know what I mean? Like, he's fine. Like, they're, you know what I mean? So whatever information I was going to find out, and this is, again, the talking through myself, I wasn't going to find out that, oh, well, do this and he's better. Do this and he's fine. Or, you know what I mean? Like, again, do I need to find out what's wrong with him? Of course. But I didn't have to do it with them. And it was partly because of the timing, but I was so glad because, again, like the next day and the next day, like I could just tell he was just fine and what we're doing. And I'm like, okay. And I found another vet. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I, you know, and it was kind of cool because the first visit I went to that place, you know, he had gotten kind of an exam and then like all his vitals, like everything was great. I'm like, cool. They gave me a one-time pill that lasts for like 3 months for the fur. So his fur, the itching got way better. And then I got pain pills because like if he, you know, what happened to start limping again, you're limping because it's painful. So I got some of those. So I was like, I'm good. Like he's good. I'm covered. His fur's good. Like, you know, and even if he pulls up, you know, hurts it. And again, I just limit all that. Like he, you know, he runs and we went to a beach, and I went to it specifically because there's soft sand, and he was running around having a great time, and I could tell how much fun he was having, and it was like, there's a healthy dog that's got no real problems. Now, if he's jumping off of a high, ledge onto cement, that could be the thing that, you know, ruins him for the rest of his life. So now, I don't know how long it's going to go, but to me, it was more and more peaceful I was with my decision. Because, like, to look back and go, okay, I went in there and I spent $855, you know, plus the initial, you know, $150. So now I'm at $1,000 and all I have is information. They haven't done anything yet and I don't like them already. And what if they're like, okay, we need to do this now? Or, you know what I mean? I was just like, ah. And I thought the line was, you know, because I don't want to go on Yelp and complain about, like, I don't even want to put any energy into that. I don't want to think about them anymore. But it was like, you know, you were the first new vet I came to, but not the last. There's, you know, vets all over. And my neighbor went to one nearby here and told me about it. It's like I said, I already got a new place to check out. But there was part of this thing where when it was happening, I could feel my chest was tight. You know, when Zen got hurt, when he was limping, you know, when I was at the doctor, you know, there's just this. And I'm like, okay, that's my suffering. And what do I need to do to survive is to find meaning in that suffering. So why am I suffering? Well, I love Zen. You know, Zen's the most important thing to me. So when he's limping, when he's uncomfortable, when I don't know, like, what's wrong with him? How much will it cost? You know, how long will it last? Those unknowns, that's what make people suffer. So you have to find meaning in that. And it was just this looking at it going, well, that's how much I love Zen. Like, he's the most important thing, so that's how it's going to be. And again, it's just, I've been telling clients, it's just that little shift where instead you're going, oh, this sucks. You know, Zen's hurting, and I feel bad. You're looking at it, and you're like going, okay, when Zen, who I care about and love, is uncomfortable, that weighs on my heart. I'm aware of that. Again, I'm aware of that. The meaning of the suffering I'm looking for is that I love him. So if I'm finding meaning, it doesn't take away the suffering, but it decreases it slightly. You know, it's like you just feel it in a different way, because I was just going through this thing in a different way. And like when I wasn't taking him to the vet, I had this chat with him and I said, you know, Zen, I don't care what it is. I don't care what you need the rest of your life. If you need, you know, the two-wheeled buggy, if you need to be pulled in a wagon, if you need to be carried, I mean, I don't care what it is. I'm going to get it for you. And there was a peace that kind of came over me when I said that. Like, you know, don't worry about money and don't worry about anything. You're just going to take care of Zen like you always have. And it was just super, super, super peaceful. And again, like how he's acting right now, it's perfect. And again, I'm going to focus on that. And that was like the craziest. This was yesterday. This kind of gets into the whole next story. So I had like two clients go out of town. One client went from twice a week to once a week. And another client was just busy. So all of a sudden there's this kind of a slowdown. And then I go off social media. So more time, you know, more freedom, more time. If you're not in a good place, that can get way hard. So I was fine. But coming up on this past weekend, I knew Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I had no clients. So it's no clients. Not talking to anyone. And highly aware of everything. You know, in AA, there's this line that says, when, you know, the greatest thing about being sober is you feel everything. And the worst thing about being sober is you feel everything. Well, to me, this being aware is that same thing. It's like, it's great because I'm like totally aware. But you're totally aware. Like when I wake up, I'm like, wow, that's a funk. Wow, that made me feel this way. Wow, that did that. Wow, this is, you know, and it's like work. It's like I'm in school all day, you know, school of oneself. I'm in that all day long until I fall asleep and then wake up the next day. And it's like, right, it's just the thinking and the thinking and the thinking and the thinking, because I am just there. And again, I mentioned that show alone, which is obviously a huge stark contrast from what I'm talking about. But in the context of my life, if you're going to just be alone for 3 days and not talk to anybody and be in your head, you better be in a good place. Because it was hard for me. And I was challenged. And it wasn't like, I mean, there's like a bottom. Like I never met, like bad in the past was bad. My bad now is not like that at all. And I don't want to say that it was bad. It was just hard. It was just a real challenge because there was just time. And I got up early on Friday and I said, I'm just going to drive up the coast, hang out with Zen, stop at a couple beaches. I did that, felt great, came back, and it was 9:30. I got up here at like 5:30. I'm like, I'm just going to drive, get up, start. And all of a sudden I was like, and it was great. But I was like, and that's when I was like, okay, it's 9:30. And you have all of Friday, all of Saturday, all of Sunday. And it's like, I'm meditating, but that's only a little bit. And I'm, you know, reading, and but that's only a little bit. It's like, you know, walk. So it's like, I was just going, wow. Like, again, just aware. I know I'm not in a tent in freezing weather without shelter, fire, or food and water. But I'm just sitting here, like, just with my thoughts. And I, you know, I'm not wanting to just, oh, I'm going to just do things, build things, whatever, to stay busy. I'm, like, not there, so I'm not doing that. So me just like, I need to fill time wasn't really the goal, but it almost became, you know, almost a safety thing. Like, it was like, it was hard. Like, I was just like, I'm just, you know, I would watch a movie and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I can't do that anymore. I can't do that anymore. And I'm like, I read, I'm done. I'm like, and, you know, I'm looking going, I got X amount of time left. So it was a full on test. But it was yesterday, and this is kind of bringing it back to my point about Zen, is yesterday I looked at him and I was like, I'm just so thankful that he's just in a great mood. He's happy, you know what I mean? He's a happy dog. He just is. But there's no pain, there's no discomfort. Like, I'm like, and it was like, there you go. If he was limping right now, your heart would just be so heavy. And if he's not limping and he's happy and you're hanging out and you're, you know, you took him to the beach where he could run around, I mean, like, how great is that? How great is your present? Aren't you thankful? And all of that was quiet because I'm not telling anybody. Like, this is the first time I'm saying a lot of this. So it's like, and again, when I'm saying it, I'm recording, it doesn't seem loud. You know, just myself in, you know, my home recording. And I don't get a bunch of, I'm not boohooing Tom, but I don't get a bunch of feedback, you know, from the podcast. So I don't really hear anything. You know, I don't know what clients, you know, really follow the podcast as much anymore. So again, I'm not getting the feedback. So it's quiet. But it's kind of what I'm happy about. I'm not happy. I don't like that word. What I'm proud about is that I've that motivated to share my experience in lieu of how many people hear it. You know, just that whole openness thing. You know, I'm doing things like I'm in this experience, and part of this experience is having my podcast, and part of that experience of having a podcast is sharing, you know, what I'm going through. It's not on a loudspeaker. It's not, you know, right now, not on social media. It's not, you know, big and loud. There's not a bunch of people listening. But that doesn't matter. And that's what I mean. When you get to this point of awareness and you see things clearly. It's not wonderful and unicorns and purple clouds and bunnies. It's pretty gnarly, you know. And again, this you know, I got, say, Sunday. I got all, you know, all day today. And this is, you know, here I am, you know, speaking out loud, you know, I said hi to a couple neighbors, but, you know, not conversation, no anything. And again, it's not like I chat that much, but it was just like I could tell, you know, without the clients, because, you know, they were gone, it was quieter. And then no social media, it was quieter. And I had just more time, and it was more time in my head. And when you have just a lot of time, it's a challenge. But there's the victory. I was aware it was hard. I was aware it was a challenge, but I was fine. I didn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, that was kind of the cool thing. Like, it wasn't fun. It wasn't familiar. You know, it wasn't like this, oh, good vibey kind of thing. But I was just, again, awareness got me to meditate. Awareness got me here today. Awareness is all I'm going to keep doing. And part of the end of the book, which is kind of like, this is something I'm going to talk to Scott about. I got one chapter left, and the last 2-3 chapters are about him really getting undernourished and being on like the verge of death. But him just talking about like the great moment when you're right before you're going to die, you know, your body's failing, not functioning. You can lose all your senses, but you stay aware. Like, you totally stay aware. So when everything else goes and that little bit of awareness shifts at the very, very end before you die, that's when you have this, I forget what luminosity thing, this whole experience of this, you know, grand awareness, because of how, you know, because you're alive, you're still attached to breathing and you're attached to things you got to do. But like, I don't know, it made sense. Like, as you got older and your body deteriorated, your mind could be fine and your awareness could be fine, but heightened, because now you're not really thinking about the body or worried about that stuff anymore. And I kind of understood that in a way. Like, again, my whole workout world the last 3 years has shifted. I definitely do less, and it's like definitely thinking more, way more, you know, into the mental than the physical. And that was even true in martial arts. You know, as you got second degree, third degree, fourth degree, you weren't getting younger. So fifth, sixth, seventh, all those tests were way more, you know, way less physical than, you know, up until your second degree black belt test. Because it was just, again, more about your earthly experience. And, you know, again, what was going on in your head was the important thing. All righty. I'm going to, this is, all right, so the one other thing that was kind of cool, and again, this is my experience, is doing art, having an IG account for myself and for Zen, is you walk around, and I'm sure everybody can relate to this, you know, looking to capture, so you can post. So everything I would do, if it was a Zen, I was like, oh, should I videotape this? Oh, there's Zen doing that. Should I videotape this? Should I post that? And that was like a whole nother side of it that was gone. Because that Friday morning when I got up, I was just like up early. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go for a drive. I'm just going to go up the coast. I stopped at, you know, like 2 or 3 different beaches just to walk around for a little bit. And I just brought my car keys. Like, I go to the beach for the day, you know, I got a backpack and, you know, everything. But I, you know, had some snacks and had some water in the car. But when I was just going to get out, I didn't bring my, you know, Fuji digital camera. I didn't bring it with me on the trip. But I had my phone on me. And, you know, I always have that, you know, just to take a video of Zen or, you know, whatever. And I left it in the car. So there were just all these little things that I could tell were just really, really different. Like the experience of it. And I was alive and well, very present, and going, wow, I'm not connected. I'm not worried about capturing. And it's like, well, it's like, did this little drive up the coast, stopping at the Bijou Zen, lose any value because you weren't sharing it or posting it? And I was like, no. And that's where the whole thing hit me. Like, I was around, you know, before you posted everything that you did. And it was just, I just went out. I'm like, when I first got here, I used to just go to the beach and walk. And, you know, didn't even take pictures. I didn't do anything. I just walked. And I'm like, well, full circle, here I am. And I was just hanging out, walking around, and Zen's, you know, walking around and running around. And it was just like, I don't know. It was, you know, again, Elpinist. I keep saying these things over and over, but, you know, his joy was, his experience was personal. And there was just something really magical about that. And Scott and I talked about this too, because I think he's been approached about doing, you know, podcasts, and, you know, you could, you know, make some money doing it and this and that. I think, wow, you know, he totally could, what he shares and stuff. And I had told him that I thought about before, like, man, we could just record, like, do it on Zoom and record the audio. I mean, there's just so much good stuff. And I told him, I said, but whenever I think about it, I said, is the most special thing about our conversations is that it's just between Scott and I. Like, that's what makes it special. As soon as, you know, we knew we were recording or it was to share, it would just inevitably change it. 100%. It would just change it. And I've known that. I just, like, out the gate when I started going, wow, our chats are cool. I was like, yeah, then that's what's cool about them. You know, they're for Scott and I. And I get to share notes and take notes and all that stuff after. But that's the special thing. So now I'm living this life where I'm not trying to capture. I'm not trying to share. I'm disconnected to the outside, to the external. But I'm so much more connected internally. And being aware, like reading that in the book and thinking, wow, that's like, I mean, everything goes away but your awareness. I mean, unless you obviously have some other thing that's affecting you, but I'm just saying that, you know, you're just aware. You know, I'm getting old, my body's deteriorating, I'm in the hospital, I'm sick, I'm, you know, all these things, you'll just be aware. I'm getting cold, my breathing's getting harder, you know, and like, Just aware. Like, you will be aware longer than anything else, probably. So it would be good to be good at that. And becoming aware is along that path of personal growth. And like I said, it is quiet. And it's like I said, this little weird thing where I'm like, yeah, now I'm telling people on a podcast. And it's like, I know, but I'm not, you know, I'm, you know, social media, shouting it, telling everybody in the world, that not a bunch of people I know. I don't have a big circle, so it is quiet. And it's very personal. But that's what I'm sharing. You know, I'm willing to share my story enough to hopefully have it resonate with people to be like, wow, what if I disconnected? What if I just became more aware? You know, what if I said I'm going to be alone for the whole day and not talk? What if I'm going to do that for 2 days? And there's this line in the book about adding wood to the fire, you know, continuing to challenge yourself. And I didn't feel like great Friday night after Friday because it was hard. And I knew I had all day Saturday and all day Sunday. So when I was talking about the last episode, you know, being in the school of oneself, that's what I feel I am. I'm learning about me and I'm being open, you know. Oh, you were blocked. Okay, what does that mean? I'm going to look at that. I'm going to experience that. I'm going to feel that. I'm going to stay aware. And, oh, look what happened. Hey, I'm meditating. You know, so again, it's like I'm very aware that I'm observing my life, and that's the experience. I'm not so much in it as I am aware of it and observing it, which, you know, lessens that. Like I said, I'm here I am Sunday morning, and I had two full, you know, days of filling time, and I know I have that the rest of the day, but, you know, here I am able to function. If I was bad and depressed and lonely, and I definitely, you know, would not be recording a podcast. Like, I don't have to get into a great mood, but, you know, there's times when I wake up and I'm like, yeah, I just don't feel like, you know, conveying something right now, and I just won't record. I have to be in a, you know, a pretty good mood. But I was stoked about this podcast and this episode because, again, to me, I didn't have any of that planned. You know, I was just kind of sitting back, you know, taking notes and, well, okay, Zen, that's a thing. And then I was like, wow, the IG, that's a thing. And I was like, wow, now I'm meditating. And I'm like, okay, the vet didn't work out. And I'm like, okay, now I went to the beach. And I'm like, wow, I got 3 days. Well, like, it is completely, if someone hugely smart said, I'm going to create a school syllabus for Tom so Tom can learn about Tom. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm sharing. That's what I'm selling. If you're coming to my well, and it is, as always, for free, would love to hear from you. If you have any comments, questions, want to share your story, shout out, bunch of ways to get a hold of me on social media, which currently I'm not on. And you can always get me at proupodcast@gmail.com. But thank you for listening, and I hope that, you know, something, one thing that I shared that you can just grab hold of and think, okay, here's a seed. I'm going to plant that seed. Again, that's what I feel I did with meditation. I just planted that seed for a long time and didn't judge it and didn't critique it. And right now, I'm aware. Like, I'm not wonderfully enlightened when I meditate. I move. I'm, you know, my legs are kind of, you know, moving. I feel things, you know, nothing's going great. I'm not perfect in any of these things, but the excitement comes from knowing that I've grown, knowing that I have deemed myself worthy, and I feel that I have value, and I'm just very intrigued, because if I've gotten what I've gotten by doing what I'm doing, I love simple. Okay, I'm just going to keep doing that, because look how it's going. You know, I'm not writing the syllabus for myself, but as I go, I keep learning. Like, exactly what I need comes into my life. Exactly, you know, things that happen that cause me to respond in a certain way are happening. And like, again, I can't orchestrate any of that. It's just responding. But if you stay present and you stay aware, which is easily stated, much harder to apply, but if you do that, you will experience that personal growth. And again, it's, you know, not a bunch of people are going to know about it. It's, you know, it's not that postable thing. It's just quiet, but within yourself, it is huge, and it is wonderful, and it is magical. And I, like I said, one thing, end every podcast with it. You are worth it. Welcome to your Pro You Moment. Stoked you're here. Let us begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, legs folded if you can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. We will draw the inhale through the nose, elongating it and slowing it down, being aware of the inhale. We will do the exact same thing with the exhale, except we will allow it out the mouth, elongating it and slowing it down, becoming aware of the breath, the flow, the ebb and flow of the breath in and out. That will be your focus. Anything else enters space between your ears, kindly, calmly ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Best example of deeming yourself worthy. And maybe you're becoming aware in that pro-you moment of the thoughts that are going through your mind. And maybe that's becoming more familiar to you. And maybe that will encourage you to look deeper, longer, more thoughtfully inward. That's where the answers lie, where the good lies, where I believe the answers to the biggest questions lie, are inside of you. There's so much work to be done before we get to that. And that's why you gotta deem yourself worthy every day to do those things consistently. Those little things that will aid in your walk, in your journey along your path, providing you with the opportunity and ability to become the best version of you and to have a totally different experience. That's what I'm having. I'm having a different experience than I had the first 50 years of my life. Pretty easy to kind of cut that right in half and go, first 50 was A, and the last 7 were B, and they've only gotten better. And why? Started looking at myself, started looking within, started stopping, pausing, reflecting, and asking why. But you're not going to do any of those things unless you deem yourself worthy, unless you see value in yourself. It is just truly about taking the time for yourself. Because it's the one thing that you have is time. But what you do with it, that's what's important. How you spend it. And where I am, how you spend it mentally. Omnipotent to your pro-you path. So make sure you're deeming yourself worthy. You're stopping, you're pausing, you're reflecting. And you're staying aware. And you're learning about you. And you're growing. Therefore changing your experience. Peace and God bless.